This is the time of year that everything falls apart. You don't have everything you need for the heirloom cookie recipe, and you try to make do without an important ingredient. But grandma knows something just ain't right with those cookies. The plans you made with your best friend from high school coming into town crumble when you learn that their flight has been canceled due to that white stuff they experience at some places in the country. It seems in our efforts to bring everything together for that perfect Christmas, things fall apart. Plans were falling apart for Mary and Joseph as well. Yet God was up to something. Mary had not gotten too long a rest from her long visit with her relative Elizabeth. You might imagine she wasn't very eager for donkey travel in her last trimester. But nonetheless, Caesar dictated that everyone had to return to their hometown so that they could be registered. And you know why? So that they could have a paper trail and everyone could be taxed. So they traveled. And contrary to what we might think, they did have a place to stay. With family. You know, I have in my mind these images that are hard to shake of the family going door to door from Super 8 to Motel 6 looking for lodging in tiny Bethlehem. Probably I've been too much influenced by Christmas plays that depict slamming doors in the faces of Mary and Joseph. But the word that we translate as inn really means guest room. Every home in that time would have had a main floor for the family, and then a guest room on the middle level. Mary and Joseph went to lodge with family. And family makes room for family, even when they're all in town at once. They may not have had room for Mary and Joseph in their guest room on the main floor, but they made space for them under the guest room in that area that the houses keep the family's livestock. The animals were housed at ground level so they could provide sort of a natural heat for the level above it. In the midst of doing what the world dictates be done, on another level, things were coming together in God's plan in a grand way. In the midst of inconveniences and uncomfortable travel so that the wealthier could get wealthier, a new creative plan was emerging from the Lord. You see, the names that the angel gives the poor shepherds to announce the birth of Jesus would be a direct threat to people in power. The angel says, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord." Savior, Messiah, and Lord are all political and messianic titles which would indicate to a person in power that this person would take over their power in the land. We may know already that what this meant to Herod, who in Matthew's gospel dispatches a plan to kill all the baby boys in that region to eradicate this perceived threat to his power. Yet we understand Jesus was not born to become a replacement for Caesar or Herod or Quirinius or any other political figure. From the ancient times, God was seen as ruler over all. Nevertheless, as human nature would have it, people pined for an earthly king so they could be like the other nations, and sometimes that worked okay, and sometimes it was a miserable failure. All that is well documented in the Old Testament scriptures. But God was to be seen as above every earthly power, and God was coming to take over that power in the world among his people. And now something happens that represents a brand new step. God has come to be among God's people, not simply over, but alongside. Now God has skin in the game. Now God is incarnate in the flesh. Now God knows the human experience firsthand and comes to hit the refresh button for the whole cosmos. God comes to be born among us. So born, as the carol suggests, to give us second birth. And look who that good news message gets entrusted to. Poor shepherds pitching tents among the flocks of sheep. The people who would have simply been forgotten about because they weren't important to the everyday lives of people. They weren't even to be counted in the census. Look where they were while everyone else went to be counted. The announcement of good news is made clear by the angel that it is for all people. But the people entrusted to share it are the people on the fringes, people who are outsiders, people who are poor, people who are wallflowers, you might say, who blend into the backdrop of humanity, the Lazaruses that the rich man would pass by in the gate day in and day out. This story is full of paradox. But you know something? Paradox is the essence of truth. As people, we don't live very comfortably with paradox. We want things to be cut and dry, black and white. And sometimes we just plain insist on that. But paradox is the reality of God's kingdom. God chooses what is insanely out of touch to be in touch with God's people. God chooses the unlikeliest of people to get God's message to the masses. God chooses the most vulnerable position in the world, a poor infant of questionable parentage, from which to initiate the rule of truth and grace. Paradox is on full display in this night of nights. So then, are you ready for another great paradoxical twist? You and I are entrusted with this mystery. You and I hold Jesus in our hands tonight. Sounds crazy, right? But ponder it, like Mary pondered the truth the shepherds shared at the manger site. We rejoice as we hold the bread, the child born in Bethlehem, the meaning of which is the house of bread. We take this Jesus into our very selves. Ah, sweet paradox, heaven's treasure inside you and me, waiting to be birthed by us. Christ being born again in our actions, in our unconditional love for the stranger, the outcast, the poor, the wallflower. What? You? Me? Primary bearers of this good news? You might think, wait. You say, God is pushing me to breathe? I'm the king of sarcasm. I'm the queen of gossip. I'm a millennial misfit. I'm no adequate vessel to be entrusted to that task. Exactly. That's the paradox. You'd think the message entrusted to us would just expire upon delivery. But not so, says our paradoxical Prince of Peace. We are exactly whom God entrusts to birth his Son in the world and to call it out of the darkness into the marvelous light, even as we make the exact same move imperfectly in our own lives. That's God's plan. To get the good news for all the people, to all the people. God, give us the grace to trust your plan and play along like Mary did. Amen and Merry Christmas.